Amen and amen. The church says, amen. Thank you, guys. Yes.
I'm not leaving until the 15th.
Yes, I have that on my thing. Right. Love you guys. Please put Sonia and John on your prayer list. Amen. So a lot of things that are happening today, we're going to dedicate the shoeboxes in just a minute. And also, listen, we need a whole bunch of ladies, if you don't mind, that would love to decorate the church or finish decorating for Christmas. If you would be kind enough to call info, I'm sorry. This has been a long week for me, so you better bear with me tonight, today, tomorrow, next year, whatever day it is, okay? Call the office because we need ladies that will volunteer to help decorate the church. They will coordinate with you, but if you'll just call tomorrow, they'd appreciate it. Also, the bookstore. Today is a very special day. The liquidation sale is today. We are selling, it says, everything in the bookstore, and you can buy a book. You can buy anything there, and here's the deal. It doesn't have a price tag. You put your price tag on it. If you say, well, that's 10 cents, put 10 cents. If you think it's a dollar, give a dollar. Amen? But let's go and wipe everything out that is for sale today. Grace Connection, the Thanksgiving luncheon, going to be a special day today. It's right after the second service. Also, Christmas choir rehearsal. Guys, if you're in the Christmas choir, that has now been canceled and completely suspended for this year. Mom's Monday morning, tomorrow, Kids Church, 9 to 11:30 a.m. Please enter through the admin wing. Also, Josh and Tiffany and Becky Carlson's share group, they'll be canceled this coming week, of course, because of Thanksgiving. And whatever you do, this coming Wednesday night is our 25th annual night of Thanksgiving unto the Lord. This is the night to when you guys come and you share for that brief amount of time that one thing that you give God glory for that he did for you in 2018. Amen? Now, with all that being said, the kids' church is closed Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, and there'll be no nursery. So remember that. Also, I want to bid everyone a happy Thanksgiving. You know, so I pray that if you're traveling, if I won't see you, the Lord bless you. You be safe and come home safely to us. Now, on a sadder note this morning, as you notice that Jesse's leading worship this morning, and there's been an issue that has arisen. I'm going to read just exactly what Kevin and Amy gave me to share with the church. It says that Kevin and Amy came to my home this week. We were in counseling. They shared that they're facing some very pressing marriage issues. They said that after prayer and consideration, they have decided to step down from all ministry to work on these matters with some privacy. This is a difficult decision for them. It continues to be a difficult time for them. They appreciate your prayers during this time. Now, they have made a very important decision to try to mend some things, okay? They have let their request be known not unto you. They have let their request be known unto the God who loves them. Amen? So, no speculation here. I'm just asking you to lift them and the kiddos, you know, Garrett and Chloe and Kaylee, lift them up to the Lord. Amen? And that's what when one member suffers, we all suffer with it. So, with all that being said, let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing as we dedicate, Lord, these shoeboxes to you, that they will be delivered all over the world into the right hands, to the right child. They're perfectly, Lord, the ingredients in each box are perfect for the one that you're going to give it to. I thank you that you had blessed the families and the hands that have provided these shoeboxes, Lord, and bless Paul for always fulfilling this difficult task. And Father, we, as we dedicate them to you, knowing that they'll reach the right hands, we lift up Kevin and Amy, their marriage, their lives to you. We're thankful for all that they have done here at Calvary, Lord. We ask that somehow, some way, according to your divine love, your perfect grace, and your incredible power, healing in whatever areas that are needed to resolve the issue. We also lift up Garrett, Lord, to you, and Kaylee and Chloe, that you embrace their little hearts, Lord, and just keep them in perfect peace. And Lord, I know that you're working in this situation. I ask you today, Lord, as Morris, for continued healing for his body, and Lord, especially for California, all the horror that's going on there. But more than anything this morning, Lord, I thank you that you're going to help me to teach your word faithfully and accurately, and the sheep of your pasture, their hearts and ears are open. So bless your word now, Lord, that you've exalted above your very name. We ask it in the greatest name in all the world, all of the universe, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we all say, amen. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning with me. This is our Thanksgiving message. Of course, I'll be back teaching. I'll be concluding with the gifts of the Spirit next Sunday, the Lord willing. But this morning, this is our Thanksgiving message. And turn to Romans chapter 5, and you're also going to be in Philippians chapter 2, and I'll probably be to those areas in about 20 minutes, if that's okay, but I want to let you know where we're going. It is hard to believe to me, as I say this probably every year, that my goodness, it's Thanksgiving already. The holiday season has arrived, 33 days until Christmas, if I counted correctly, which would mean there's 40 days left in this year. Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, the word that God gave us for 2018. Prove him about his faithfulness, stepping out and believing that he is the faithful God, which he, of course, he is. It's going to come to an end now. Not his faithfulness, but the word he gave us. We'll be having a new word, the Lord willing, for 2019. Maybe it'll be coming sooner than we think. But I know and I pray that your homes this holiday season, this Thanksgiving, I pray they're filled with the peace of Christ and the love of God. And I pray that everything that you do, your hearts are all overflowing with thankfulness to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, God told Israel of old, before they went into the promised land, he told them, he said, this is what I'm going to do for you when you get there. But when you arrive, please don't forget me. God tells them in Deuteronomy 8:10, he told Israel, he said, listen, when you've eaten and you're full, then you shall bless, or literally, you'll give thanks unto the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you. And then God gives a warning. He says, beware now, be certain about this, that you do not forget the Lord your God. Not by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and all that you have is multiplied. And when your heart is lifted up, and then you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, one of the very first steps for Israel of old and the church today is that when we are full and when we are content, we sometimes forget the one who made us full and brought such peace to our hearts. Amen? You know, this Thanksgiving is so vital and so important to each and every one of us. It really is. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:16, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord. I'm talking about Thanksgiving now. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. That word trouble means confusion and anger, or to live in anguish in your life. So no matter how much you have, and no matter how little you have, be thankful. Amen? Because, you know, the Bible tells you, remember what Paul writes to the church at Corinth? He says, listen, all things are yours. You have it all. We have it all. Not only that, it's not how much we have, it's who we have. Amen? We should be so thankful. Proverbs 15:17. Let me read it to you. It says, better is a dinner of herbs. In other words, vegetables, no turkey. Where love is. Let me read that again. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred, a luxurious meal with hatred there in the home. God, what is God saying there? He's saying it's better that we have a slender, sissy meal. Did you know literally that meant only one vegetable? How would you like to have one slimy, it's not asparagus, what's the other one? Okra. There's not, you know, I mean, I don't think even Texans eat okra that's boiled anymore. But here's the thing. But oh, if there is love in your home for Thanksgiving. Amen? If there is love is there, and you say, well, Bill, you know what? That's what I want. I want a Thanksgiving table that is filled with love, but I guess I'm going to the home of Uncle so-and-so, and yeah, we're going to have a fatted calf, all right. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a house full of strife. It's going to be a house full of cussing. It's going to be a house full of fighting. Well, the Bible tells you what to do. It says in Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel, literally just one scrap of food, with quietness, meaning no fighting, no arguing, no strife, than a house full of feasting. In other words, a house that is full of relatives for Thanksgiving with strife. Oh, fighting among the family. What a horrible thought. Now listen, this morning, this message, I tell you, is fresh off the heaven's shores, if you will. I'm talking to you this morning what you bring to the table. Say that with me. What you bring to the table, not just on Thanksgiving, but all every day of your life. Listen, wherever you celebrate Thanksgiving, whatever you do in this life, the place that you're going to, or maybe it's just your home, or maybe it's going to be Luby's, it doesn't really matter. That place that you're going is going to be filled with love. And you know why? Because you're there. Do you understand? Because you're there. See, you know, God tells us what he does. David cried out in Psalm 23:5. God says, you know what? You prepare a table. God already has a table prepared for you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And he says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness, mercy follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have been learning for the last several weeks about the agape of God, the incredible love of God. And remember that we learned that when Paul says, you know what, you can have the gift of prophecy, you can know all mysteries, you can have all knowledge, you can have all faith, you can give your body to be burned, you can become a martyr, in other words, you can give every penny you have to buy food for the poor, and God's word says this, you can do all those things. That's a remarkable individual, whoever that might be. But God says in his word, you can do that, but if you don't have the love of God, if you don't have agape in your heart, you are absolutely useless, is what he says. You're a nobody. Think about that. That's the word of God. I didn't say that. Listen, that is so vital that we understand that. Without agape in our hearts, the love of God is supernatural love, we are absolutely nothing. But listen, you have this Thanksgiving, you have right this moment, you have the love of God which is in your hearts, and you bring God's love to whatever table you're going to be eating at. Amen? The Bible, remember we concluded in 1 Corinthians 13:31, where Paul writes and he says, now abideth faith and hope and love, but these three, but the greatest there is love. The love of God that has been put in your hearts is endless, it is eternal, it will outlast everything in all of the universe. Love never, ever ends, and love never, ever fails because it is eternal. Now, if you're in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I want you to see the same sequence of faith, hope, and love in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Look at it now with me. It says, therefore, having been, that's past tense, having been justified by what? Faith. It says we have peace with God, and here's how, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So having been justified by faith, you know what that word means. It means to be declared righteous or innocent in the eyes of God because you placed your trust in Christ Jesus. It means just as if you had never sinned. All of your sin now, far as the east is from the west, totally, completely wiped away. I know that's right. There's a Thanksgiving feast. Amen? So justified by faith. And then it says we have something else. We have there in the Greek that tense, if you don't mind me saying so, means constant, continuous, unbroken peace with God. And then it tells us how this all happened through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, I believe, that he, meaning Jesus himself, is our peace. Colossians 1:20 teaches us that God has made peace for us through the blood of his cross when Christ died upon Calvary. Listen to me now. This Thanksgiving, what you have, who you are. You know, justification and peace with God. Loved one, man, those are divine facts from a God who cannot lie. They're not feelings, okay? You don't, when the moment that you've heard me teach throughout the many years here, you got to really forgive me this morning. I've been sick all week and I'm struggling, okay, with this filthy cold that somebody out there gave it to me. And if I find you, we're going to have an exorcism, because no demon in hell could ever have this, whatever this stuff is. It's worse than the bubonic plague. Right now, you know, I see my chair at home, my little sissy Superman quilt on me, that sissy green tea, my wife rubbing my shoulders. But I am rejoicing. Justification, peace with God. Loved one, listen, these are divine facts. They're not really an experience. Being born again is an experience, but justification is when God says you're no longer guilty. A peace with God is something that you don't necessarily feel, although you know you have peace with God. So it's a revelation. It's not necessarily a feeling, but it's a divine fact that you hold on to. So that comes by faith. Look at verse 2. With whom, or through whom, meaning our Lord, also we possess it right now, access by faith into this grace which we stand. Now listen, that when we stand in God's unmerited, undeserved favor 24/7. You can't get away from it. Beloved one, remain in the grace that saved you. Amen. And then he also just told us again, we have access. Did you know that we have access to the throne room of God continually? The door is never going to be shut for the believer. You can go there anytime, 24/7. And you know what? You'll be welcome because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can walk right into the throne room in your prayer time. Now, it says also, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. Why? Well, because God's glory is being revealed in us, number one, now. Remember, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we're beholding his face as in a mirror. And it says we are being, that's a process, we are being transformed into the very same image of our Lord from glory to glory to glory. Amen? By the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Now listen carefully. Wouldn't it? Now listen, glory to glory means you're changing. Here you are, you're this way, and now you're more like Christ. And then another phase, you're more like the Lord. And it goes on and on and on. That's what's happening right this very minute in our lives. Now listen, wouldn't it be something, talking about what you bring to the table on Thanksgiving, wouldn't it be amazing? Here you are. Say you're at Uncle Joe's. Now, if your name is Joe, I love you. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm sure you're a lovely person, but I'm just using Joe as an example, so don't email me, okay? And Uncle Joe's not saved. And here you go, and you're sitting down. You know it's going to be the same old 6, 2, and 7 again, every, you know, whatever. And there you are, and all of a sudden, what if a loud boom happened? See, what do you bring to the table? What if all of a sudden you were being changed to another glory? Amen? In other words, oh, I just grew another inch in Christ. Amen? Are you getting me? Listen, that's what happens in your life. Why can't it happen at the Thanksgiving table? During dessert? Come on. That's what the Lord does. And not only does he do it now, but what you bring to the table is going to be also into the future, loved one. It tells us in Colossians 3:4, it tells us that in the future, it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And look at verse 3. And not only that, look at this. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Remember, love endures all things. That's what that word means. It means to endure. We have the love of God. It's in our heart. And love endures all things. It stands to the test. Love is strong. It never gives up. And it says tribulation produces perseverance or endurance, perseverance, character, proven character, by the way, and character. And here's that next word. We had faith. Now we have hope. So here are these tribulations. You know, these tribulations are the things that we go through in life here for the Lord. They're for His sake. Amen? That's when we serve and work for the Lord, not for any other reason. It's because we're serving Him. But, you know, when tribulation comes into your life, no matter what it is, it's not brought into your life so you'll fail. It's to make you seasoned. It's to make you a veteran. It's to make you stand. It's to make you stronger. It never, ever makes you weaker. Now, watch hope again. Now, hope doesn't disappoint. It tells us why. That word disappoint actually means to put us to shame. So this hope doesn't disappoint, but the love, this is the first mention in Romans, by the way, agape. The love of God has been poured out. That means lavishly poured out. Where? Into our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is the first mention in Romans of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with love. Man, listen, did you just see what happened in this sequence? We have verses 1 and 2 was faith, hope was 2, 4, and 5, and then love came in verse 5. Now listen, this love that God has poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto you, listen, it was lavishly poured out. I mean, it was, you were engulfed in it. Whether you believe it, whether you know it, you have it. If you are a believer, you have it in your heart right this very minute. It comes in immeasurable waves. And the same Spirit who distributes the gifts of the Spirit, activates the gifts of the Spirit, the same Holy Spirit is the one who poured out this love into your hearts. Now listen, and that Holy Spirit has been given unto us. As He is a gift of God, the divine helper of the church. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who also sealed us and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, that down payment, that pledge. Loved one, listen, the divine helper of the church, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He is our comforter. He is our advocate. He is our teacher. He is our standby, the Bible says. He is our strengthener. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30 that we have been sealed to the day of redemption. That means we have been sealed forever. No one's going to steal you out of the hands of God. Now listen, you have an ever-present friend that's going to be sitting at the table with you. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but that's a Thanksgiving feast for me to know these things. Now listen, every believer, every believer that is a true believer, the one that is born from above, you have the love of God, the agape of God living in your heart. No matter what table you sit at, loved one, or sit at, you bring the love of God to that table. And you sit down for Thanksgiving, you may be sitting alone, you may sit down with many, you may only have one vegetable, or you may have a ham, you may have a turkey with dressing, giblet gravy, sweet potatoes, corn on the cob, homemade bread with butter, pumpkin pie, or you may have one vegetable. But it doesn't matter. You bring love to the table. When you walked in here and sat down, you brought God's love with you. Amen? See, it lives inside of you. All of God's love sits at the table with you, loved one. But there's more. You know that Jesus has given unto us His peace. Amen? His joy, His fullness, His strength. All of it, every bit of it, His gifts, they all are in you and they all sit down at the table of thanksgiving with you every day, no matter where you are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:10, says that the life of Jesus also may be manifested, that means to be seen, in your mortal flesh. What does it mean? What's seen in our mortal flesh? Love, the goodness of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the love of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you really believe and realize, are you conscious of it? I'm not beating on you, I'm questioning you. Do you realize all that is in you right now? The Bible says in Philemon chapter, there's only one chapter, so verse 6, that your faith would become effective by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Think about that, that you acknowledge that. I have his love. I have his peace. I have all of his goodness. Listen, when was the last time that someone, and you know that has happened, I know it happens to every true believer, that someone walks up to you, maybe at your workplace, maybe even the grocery store, maybe in the parking lot, maybe at your school or your college, and they walk up to you and they say this, you know, I've been watching you, I'm sorry, but there's just something different about you. You're just different, and I can't really put my finger on it. What made them say that? Why were they drawn to you? Listen, your coworkers, they see you and they observe you and they go, wow, the way you handle things, the way you handle all these issues or maybe the complaints or the way that you treat people at the cash register or in your business, whatever you do. And they say, man, you know what? You're just kind. You're just a kind person. Why would they say that? Because love is kind. We've learned that, haven't we? Love is kind. Now, that's a verb. It doesn't mean that we speak kind things, which we do, of course, but it means that we demonstrate that love by being kind, doing kind things to others. Or they walk up and they say to you, they say, you know what? You know, you're not a rude person. I've never seen you rude. I've never seen you get, you know, mad at this individual. You know, and why is that? Well, the truth is that you have that love in you. Love has manners. Amen. Love doesn't behave rudely. Or they walk up and they say to you, they say, listen, look at the way that guy or that girl or whatever, that they just treated you. Why doesn't that provoke you? Doesn't that push you over the edge? But see, the reason that you're not is because love is not easily provoked. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. See, when that love, when it's actually and truly, when it's being manifested, loved one, in you, which it can be, other people see that. Don't you just love it when your pastor has to go through all this, you know, the rag and the water? And I hope you pray for me for the second service. Why did they say that to you? And the reason, again, is because you have in you the most powerful, eternal, and unbelievable possession in all of the world and universe. You have God's very own love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto you. You have been given, loved one, a love that never fails, that never quits, that draws others, that activates the gifts of the Spirit. You know why? Because you are God's magnet. Now listen, you know why people are drawn to believers? If they're acting right, not a bunch of hypocrites, not a bunch of people who gossip and lie and tell filthy jokes at the workplace. That's a bunch of bull. I'm talking about a believer, amen? Oh no, you know why they see when a Christian acting that way and they're attracted is because there's something in you that is not natural, it is supernatural. God's love is supernatural. It only comes down from heaven, loved one. It can't get it on this planet. You have to be born from above. See, for a believer not to really walk in love, did you know that is a contradiction? That's a contradiction, loved one. No, listen, it means that for a believer not to walk in the love of God, it means you're no different than a person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Why is it so vital for every Christian to manifest God's love, not just on Thanksgiving, but I mean every day of your life? The reason is because we have been called by God, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to manifest that love to a world that lives in darkness. Amen? A world that is confused and that's hurting because God loves each and every person. He wants everyone to be saved. And you know what? The reason that we, the believer, are to manifest God's love on this crummy planet is because there's no one else that can but a Christian. Because only a Christian has God's peace in him. Only a Christian has God's love living in their hearts. No wonder Jesus gave us that new commandment, which is, of course, one of the foundational scriptures for this church. In John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, speaking to his disciples there a few hours before his death in the upper room. He says that ye love one another, and the new part, as I always say, is as I have loved you. That's what the Lord has given unto us and to them as well. And you know why that Jesus commanded that? See, because love is a verb. It's not a noun there. It's not a thing. It's something that we demonstrate one to another. And as we demonstrate it one to another, guess what? The world sees it. The lost see it. The people in your workplace see it. On Thanksgiving, your relatives that may be wasted or whatever they're doing, and I'm not saying anybody has unbelieving relatives. But I am saying that they know what's there. They may not even like it, but they know it. They see it. Why? Because God's love is living in you. Because agape can be seen, and Jesus wants it seen. Because it has to be demonstrated. That's why Jesus said, he says, by this all will know. Not because of great preaching, not because, loved one, because, you know, of anything else, but all will know at the workplace, in college, wherever you go, at Thanksgiving, to a believers, to unbelievers, all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another as I loved you. You know, Tertullian, one of the Roman government, he wrote this. He said the Roman government was so worried about Christians. You know what they did? Listen carefully. Back in the days of Paul, they sent spies into the meetings to see how these Christians love one another. These Christians are very strange people, he writes. They meet together in an empty room to worship. They don't even have an image, and they speak by one of the name of Jesus who is absent, but whom they seem to be expecting to come at any time. And my, how they love him. And oh, how they love one another. You see, love is to be seen. It's not to be spoken so much. It's the action, because love is a verb, isn't it? Remember when we went through the 14 descriptions last Sunday about love? That each one of them that was a verb that did something. That's what love does. What would happen if the Watauga, is that a city? Let's say that Watauga sent a bunch of spies in here and say, we're here. There's something happening here in Halton City, man. That these guys up here, they're loving one another or something. So they come to check us out. I mean, what kind of report would they give us? I hope they would give us a great report. Amen. See, that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about being a member of a church. Thank God if you are. That's important. It's not about, well, I've got my theology right. You know, you can have right thinking and wrong living. Amen. You know, you can say, oh, I believe in the virgin birth, the resurrection, the ascension. I believe in the second coming, inerrancy of the Word of God. That's wonderful. I believe there's no other name given under heaven by men can be saved. Praise God, I believe that too. But loved one, the truth is, you're not going to be known by that. Jesus said, by this, all will know, meaning everyone that you meet, Thanksgiving or otherwise, sitting at the table or otherwise, all will know something about you. They will all know, the world, the unbelieving world, whoever it might be, that ye are my disciples because you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave the world, every person in your workplace, your college, your university, whatever you do for a living, your personal business, at the Thanksgiving table this coming Thursday, Jesus has given all. By this all will know. He has given all the right to look at us and pass judgment. Think about that. He says, you're going to know, they're going to know who you are if you love one another, if they see that love demonstrated. Listen, the new birth, loved one, you know, is to be seen. It's a magnet. I mean, I'm talking about love. It's a magnet. But the new birth, whenever a person is born again, filled with the Spirit of God, does the Holy Spirit produce loveless believers? No, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So for a believer to never practice, walk in a lifestyle of love, the agape of God, demonstrating it to everyone, no matter who they are. John said, you know what? You don't know the Lord. And the reason? God is love. And if his love lives in your heart, it has to get out to other people. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's supernatural. It's in you, and Jesus commands it to be seen by all. Now turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2. I'll be giving everyone a Thanksgiving hug after the service, okay? You know I'm teasing, right? Are you in Philippians? All right, let's look at verse 14. Pardon me. It says here, do all things without complaining. You know, that murmuring and arguing, disputing. That means arguing with God, by the way. That you may become blameless. That means where no one can point a finger at you. Harmless, that's innocent. Children of God without fault or spot. In the midst of this crooked or diseased or perverse or warped generation, meaning this age we live in. Now watch this. Among whom you shine as lights or shine as stars. In the world, holding fast the word of life, meaning which is the good news of Jesus Christ. Loved one, did you hear what that just said? You shine as lights in this world right now. What makes a believer shine in this world? It's what's living inside of them. Amen? It's the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart. Whatever you're going to do for Thanksgiving, today, tomorrow, next week, you know what? That's what you bring to the table. That's what you bring to the office. That's what you bring to where anyone that you meet. We are God's only magnet, and we are being observed, and we are being watched by this world. We're the only Jesus that this world is ever going to see, or this generation. And they'll never see God's love unless you manifest God's love to them. That's what we're called to do. We're bought at a price. We belong only to Him. Listen, I like to have a supernatural day, don't you? I'd like to have a supernatural Thanksgiving. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, that's what you bring to the table. You bring the supernaturalness of God because He is living in you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are a city upon a hill that cannot be hid. If you're the light of the world, that means you're being seen. That's what light does. If you're a city that's way up upon a hill, people see, they look up there, I can see it. It's to be seen. It says, Jesus said, they put a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, here it comes, that they may see. That they may look at you and see your good works. Look what this person is doing. Why are they doing that? Because God's love is in you, that it may bring glory to God, your Father, which is in heaven. Listen, what you bring to the table, O Christian. Listen, the moment that you sit down, if you're going to be with some family members or friends that don't know the Lord, listen, the moment you sit down, you know what? The light of the world just sat down. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. The city that cannot be hidden. You just sat right down. I mean, do you know who you are? The moment that you sit down on Thanksgiving at that table, and I'm going to be sitting down, Rebecca and I myself, with some dear ones. Some of them I know maybe be far away from the Lord. But when we leave, I hope they're not. Amen? Why? Well, because when I sit down at the table on Thanksgiving and you sit down at the table on Thanksgiving, we bring something. Goodness and mercy followed us all, will follow us all the days of our life. Amen. They sit down there right with us. And you know what? The Bible says that the angels are encamped around the righteous. Hey, come on in and sit down. Don't eat a thing, but you can sit down. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Listen, we're the temple of God. The temple of God just sat down. The citizen of heaven just sat down. The one who is more than a conqueror just sat down at the table. The one who has passed out of death and out of darkness and into life just sat down at the Thanksgiving table. Think about that for a moment. The one who has overcome the world because you're in Christ, you just sat down at that table. Not only that, loved one, the one who has overcome the wicked one. No person on earth except a believer has overcome the wicked one, because you're in the one who has defeated him. Amen? You are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But more than that, guess who sits down at the table with you when you have Thanksgiving Thursday? Jesus. He'll never leave you, he said. He will never forsake you. He said, I will be with you always, even until the end of this age. You know, listen, wherever you are, you bring love to the table. Not just Thanksgiving, but everywhere you go. Did you know that the body of Christ only grows, it teaches us in the New Testament, in proportion to the way we love one another? The Bible teaches us that the gifts are activated by love. The Bible teaches us that faith worketh by love, the agape of God. Not only that, it says that the law is fulfilled in one word, yes, even in this, love, that you love one another. The Bible teaches us that only by this love, Jesus said, will they know who you truly are. You see, love bears all things, love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. See, this love that's in you, the Bible says it never fails. I pray that you really know that in your hearts. You bring all of this love to the table on Thanksgiving or wherever you might be. Someone put it this way, very sad. He said this, one of the greatest sins I could ever engage in is doing something that could give my a non-believing person fuel for their choice not to believe in Christ Jesus, the only hope for mankind. If you manifest love, see, love does no harm to the neighbor, amen? You know, the Bible tells us that we should be the most thankful people in all of the world. It says, and Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. That's Christ. That's God's gift to us. It's indescribable because you just can't believe it. It's without explanation. For God so loved the world he gave. Not only that, it's an indescribable sacrifice. Romans 5:8, that God proved his own love toward us. He proved it. He sent Jesus to die for us, the sins of the world. The Bible tells us that, you know, that he delivered Christ up for us all. How will he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Loved one, listen. The Bible teaches us about this Thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I love the Psalms. Psalm 107, verse 8 teaches us, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, I pray that you give thanks to the Lord this Thanksgiving, but every day, of course. It's a daily thing, not a holiday time. But as we do give thanks, I pray that you remember who you are. I pray that you never forget who you are, because you are in Christ Jesus. He calls you by name, loved one. He's engraved you on the very palm of his hand. He knows every hair that falls from your head. He knows he has every tear that you have ever cried. He has put them in that bottle. And more than that, he loves you and he has given you eternal life. And that's what every person really wants, is life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. I pray if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, that you would come to him. That you would come to him and make him the Lord of your life, asking Christ to come into your heart. Loved one, listen to me now. Never forget what you bring to the table, what you bring to the workplace. Don't forget who you are in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. From my home to your home, from my heart to your heart, I bid and pray you have a Christ-centered Thanksgiving and the safe one in Christ's name. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for the day that you've given unto us. And Lord God, I thank you for this Thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord, that indeed you have called us by name. And we are a rejoicing people. No matter what we're experiencing, our ups and our downs, Lord, we're still the victor. We're never going to be the victim. We look to you, Jesus, our Lord. We love you. We give thanks unto you. We give thanks unto God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. I pray over these people, Lord, the sheep of your pasture. If they're going to fly someplace, if they're going to drive someplace for Thanksgiving, I pray they have a safe journey on the roadways and the airwaves, and that you bring them back safely. And I pray that when they sit at that table, maybe they're eating and the football game is on, Lord, or whatever, but I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks silently to them and say, do you know what you're bringing to this table? And then you use them to bring glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?